Welcome to the Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program.
And welcome back to our show here. Hour number two, the phone lines are open, 512-248-8252. And so call on in. Now, getting on back to some other computer-related stuff here, there is a lot of cybercrime going on out there. And I guess if you're looking for a new career, computer security is really looking very good right now because of all the cybercrime that's out there. And right now, password stealing and keylogging malware is currently being spread through fake downloads. And what they do is they set up the copies of known software at fake sites to get you to download the software. Their version carries the malware. And one example of that was the 4K video downloader, which... if you're not careful that you're getting it from the original author's website, it is loaded with malware. Okay, we have a caller on the line, Mike in Kentucky. Aloha, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Oh, well, for near about an hour today, I couldn't do anything with my phone line here that I'm talking to you on because yet another, and this has been going on for 24 years, the local phone company ain't part of the problem. It's the illegal domestic spying is the only thing I can think, like the NSO group or whatever, the Snowden Advanced Network Technology Catalog, the Ant Catalog had a slide in there for Picasso, which was a software-defined radio hack for the turning on hot microphones. And I think it can involve, if you've ever plugged a set of headphones into a guitar amp, you know that headphones can be a microphone, so the speakers...
Yes. Yep.
It's all software-defined radios, so they could hack the speaker and make it into a microphone. Damona's done some proof of concepts. I'm a freak of frequent flyer on your What Really Happened computer security stuff. I mean, there is no security on anything. So when you're around any of these devices, you might as well consider them on. Back in... I don't know, April or May of 2020, this PXP security guy posted a video. He said it's the only video he'd posted in 4 years. And he used his little bug sweepers to show when you turn your phone off and you go to website. The policy change there at AT&T was you could go to the website, turn off receive call, receive texts, and it's still on. Even though you're not going to be receiving any calls or texts, the dang thing's still tracking you. You can turn the phone completely off. Mm-hmm. I guess he noticed it on his phone and his wife's phone. He's sweeping people's stuff for bugs, and some of the guys he's got working with him were finding bugs everywhere, and it turned out it was their phones. Mm-hmm. AT&T changed their policy is what he was told by customer assurance, Assuron customer service or whatever it's called, that they had a policy change, and they asked him, well, why would you want to turn it off? Because I do, he said.
Yeah.
And because then he went into the whole spiel. I'm sweeping people for bugs. I'm relocating at-risk spouses, and they don't want to be found. They don't want any tracking devices, and then they burn their phone, get a new phone, so they don't want to be tracked, you know? Mm-hmm. And so... I had demonstrated this multiple times with videos and live on the air and calling people back and leaving them voicemail messages of their own phone audio as they're driving to work or different things, you know, whatever they're doing, telling them their nicknames for their dog or their stepson, mm-hmm. what radio station they were listening to, all this sort of stuff. And it predates the Patriot Act, by my reckoning, over 4 years at least.
Yeah.
Into the late 90s. And it turns out William Binney finally found a Allard Prize that he accepted in the fall of 2019 where he talks about how the Israelis were working with some guy that was in the unit at the NSA. They got the software were the sessionizers that NSA developed, rebranded it Naris and Verint, and sold it back through Boeing to the NSA. They bought their own damn software for these sessionizers that were slurping all this stuff that's going into Bluffdale, encrypted or not, apparently. So when Hillary smashed her tablets and Blackberries, what good did it do? All that data is already recorded from Minwith to...
Yeah, that was an issue that we raised when Hillary wiped her email server and deleted all those emails, and everybody said, we need to see them. I said, you know, just go over to the NSA. They've got it all.
Well, do you remember when, the NSA at some point said we're deleting stuff that we didn't have the authority to collect. Did you catch that?
Yeah, and
yeah, that was a lie.
Believe that one?
I don't believe it. No. What was the other thing I was going to tell you? There's a news story that I think you might have barely covered on the computer security section. Was National Religious Broadcasters was threatening to sue, like Facebook, Google, YouTube, and MySpace. I don't know, or not MySpace. What's the other one? Twitter, for downranking and shadow banning, and they gave them a December 31st deadline of 2018 to halt the downranking and shadow banning, or they were going to sue. And I went into January and never heard nothing about it. So I tried to get on their webpage and join the National Religious Broadcasters Association as an individual, and couldn't figure out how much I was supposed to pay for the dues. It was just a donation. But anyway, I got frustrated with their website and just called them up and left a voicemail message. Well, their phone system is down in Nashville, but they have a 202 DC phone number there.
Yeah.
And I came into work on a Sunday morning 5 months later, and I noticed a call from the National Religious Broadcasters Association. And at first I didn't notice it was for several hours in the future. It was like June the 9th, and I was in my head, I thought June the 7th because I was out of the office. Well, it turns out when I called them up and told them the next morning that they had called me on a weekend, and the next morning there was a call from 2:33 a.m. And while I was talking to the receptionist, whose name was Chuck Smith, he got a system-wide text message that said the National Religious Broadcasters Association Comcast voicemail system had all been hacked. And nobody talked about that. They talked about the Democratic National Committee, but nobody covered that. It's like Comcast and whoever else they wanted to hush that up.
Most private companies don't want that to get out there because it's going to lose them customers if people feel their data can't be trusted there. The only time these stories get into the public is if the hack is just too large to conceal or somebody blows a whistle.
Right, yeah. Well, the NRB, though, I think they might have been having a little anxiety about what kind of dirt could have been harvested, because that was 5 months of content. My voicemail was left in January, and the hackers didn't find my phone number left in the voicemail until June the 9th. So, I mean, 5 or 6 months worth of their content. And you can look on Mashable. There's an article. You lost all your passwords, and it's your voicemail's fault. Because if you hack somebody's voicemail, you can go and try to attempt to log in on whatever their YouTube and email and say, forgot my password. And if they're using voicemail as password recovery, it sends the code to the voicemail that you've hacked, and then you're in like Flynn and all their accounts. And that would help you infiltrate that organization prior to the 2020 election to do whatever you want to with, you know, the conservative stuff there, blackmail, email, or blackmail, extortion, whatever. Apparently there's something like 40% of the church-going women, according to a survey I heard on a Christian radio station, 40% of church-going women are addicted to porn. It's right there on their hand with it.
Okay, well, I'm not too surprised.
That'd be great blackmail extortion, wouldn't it not? I mean, if you can
find absolutely.
Somebody. Christian organization like the National Religious Broadcasters and start, you know, manipulating them through blackmail. Never made the news. Just like Mark Rich takes risks.
There's a scam going around here where you get an email saying, I've hacked into your computer and accessed your webcam and taken screenshots of those very questionable websites that you visit, and I took a video of what you do to yourself when you're visiting those websites, and unless you send me so many bitcoins, I'm going to release it all to your friends whose emails I got from your mail application. And it's a total bluff. It's an absolute total bluff, but some people apparently fell for it. And
thousands of people, you send out that sort of thing to thousands of people, you're going to find some people that will cough up the money. But didn't you have a story earlier this week about deep fakes, about 15 pounds, British pounds, you can buy deep fake videos in England?
Yeah.
Paste it over people's face and do all kinds of fun stuff. It's getting silly. You're not,
hard to detect. And, I know when I was still involved in the film industry, the latest thing that had come along were these filters you could apply to somebody's face to make them look a lot younger, take out the wrinkles and everything in motion. I mean, it's really easy to do that on a still frame, but to do it in motion. It's certainly a preferable approach than simply throwing the lens slightly out of focus.
Or some kind of makeup scheme. I've heard that some of the digital television makeup is designed to make flesh tones look less detailed, and you can see it sometimes on the digital televisions. The flesh tones of some of the people look kind of pasty, whereas you can see every hair on their head, but you don't see the crow's feet around their eyes.
Yes,
some kind of a lighting and makeup trick going on. Anyway, I'll let you go, but I've just posted another one of these videos, but this time it's like 40-some minutes of audio. But my famous one, or should be famous one, I guess, was Bandwidth Bandits way back in 2009.
Okay.
And I think I got honorable mention over on, Stuart Shepard on Fox. He mentioned, now we find out that the microphones can be on way back then. And I knew about it 10 years prior to that, but nobody would listen. Tinfoil hat, bat beat, crazy, off your meds and all this stuff. Or I'd get the opposite. Oh, well, they should be spying on you, Mike. I'm glad they are.
I get that all the time, you know.
Yeah. I'll talk to you later.
All right. Thanks an awful lot. Bye. We have open phone lines, 512-248-8252. We're going to go to Joe in California. Hello, Joe. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, thank you for taking my call. The previous caller was talking about spyware or software.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember at one time there was a husband and wife, or these Harvard or Yale attendees, I guess would be the best way to put it, and they offered a product to the U.S. government. They were contracted to provide this product called Promise.
Yes.
Promise software. And after they submitted it to the government,
it stood for Prosecutor's Management Information System.
And once they submitted it, the government said, after careful analysis, we decided we're not going to buy it. And so they went on about their business. And then 3 or 4 years later, they started to receive service calls and repair requests for their product that they hadn't sold. And when they traced it back to Israel, Israel had rebranded it and stole it. And then this individual named Vince Foster, he explained to the Clintons that the thing that he regretted the most was telling the Clintons about the back door in the Promise software. And he suggested that the Clintons use only something called a BlackBerry because it didn't have the same backdoorness or ability to be hacked into as the Promise and the Internet.
Well, at that time, the BlackBerry was considered more secure because it actually worked on a server client model where there was a mainframe that had your data and was very secure, and the BlackBerry was merely a terminal. It didn't have a lot of internal memory. Israel and whoever got hold of Promise. What Promise did, it was basically a database manager, but what made it special is it had a module that could be programmed to access other databases. And so this was a very powerful tool where you could basically set up a project that was getting data from a database over at the IRS, was getting data from a database at the FBI and all of it, and pulling it all together to help prosecutors build a case against their clients. When Israel copied the software off, they added the back door where they could spy on what people using the software were doing.
Well, two things that I wanted to say is, one is the Hamiltons didn't know their product was stolen until years later when they started getting service and repair calls for it. And the other one was this guy named Cody Snodgrass, who was a Black Ops guy. And when they tried to silence him, no matter how he tried to avoid certain judges that were assigned to his case, he said the Promise software kept sending his case to the people to make sure that no matter how hard the person tried to get a fair day in court, it would always be routed to the insider judge or the insider prosecutor or something, so that the guy could never get a fair day in court. And Cody Snodgrass was hired by the Clintons to blow up the Murrah building, and he said no, so they had to get this Timothy McVeigh guy to be the patsy instead. But that's all I wanted to say about the Hamiltons' Promise software, but that they were mathematicians or code writers in the 60s or 70s at Harvard or Yale.
Yeah, they were.
Their product was invented.
It was a nice piece. It was mostly code. It was not as much math. It was a database manager. And, of course, by today's standards, it's quite primitive and obsolete. And most modern data managers have that same capability built in. Not just Israel, but NSA puts backdoors into all the codes, everywhere that's out there. That's the only way they can keep breaking those codes, because modern computer-based codes are too difficult for the NSA to crack. We actually proved that when I issued a challenge to the NSA. And the software was developed on an air-gapped computer. I issued 6 challenges. I gave them lots of clues and lots of hints. They never broke one once. And so what that does, what it illustrates, is all of this code breaking and forcing you to use codes and encryption systems they already have the back doors into. It's not about spying on foreign governments or criminals or terrorists or drug lords, because those people are all too smart to use these off-the-shelf encryption solutions. They're going to develop their own encryption. And so this is all about just the government watching the American people at all times, to make sure we're not thinking those double plus ungood thoughts. And I know Thomas Jefferson once said that when people fear the government, there is tyranny. When the government fears the people, there's freedom. I'm sorry, he got it absolutely wrong. When people fear the government, there's tyranny. When the government fears the people, there is more tyranny. And we're seeing that right now.
Can I say something about Edge?
Yeah.
The Edge thing, no matter how many times I try to switch it off to where my page won't open to it, overnight the laptop reboots and puts Edge back on.
Yeah.
And it always takes passwords and stores them. And then it just eats up a lot of the computer speed or memory, whatever you want to call it. It just slows everything down, and no matter what you try to do to not use it, it puts itself back on overnight. It uses Bing. It captures passwords. And then when you go to send an email, this thing pops up out of nowhere and says, would you like to use some of the emails and passwords you used earlier? And it's like, no.
Yeah.
I just think that's wrong. And the public who's purchasing this stuff should be allowed to make the decision whether or not they have to be forced to use it.
I definitely agree, but Microsoft has always had a very aggressive attitude of, you're going to do things our way. I mean, in the early days of the internet browsers, everybody pretty much followed the Mozilla standard, and that made writing web pages pretty easy. And then all of a sudden, Microsoft came on out and said, well, we're going to redefine HTML to support our browsers, and if you want your web page to look right on our browsers, you're going to have to code it to adapt to which kind of browser it was looking at. And that was a big headache for webmasters.
When I try to copy and paste a link, when I copy it and then paste it, it doesn't put the link. It puts what Bing or Microsoft Edge's version of the title of the article is.
Yeah, I've seen that. That's one of the reasons why I quit using Edge. Anyway, Joe, I got to let you go. We've got to take a break for commercials. The phone lines are open, 512-248-8252. I need some phone calls. We'll be right back. Oh,
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast 2-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have? Do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up?
Update for December 2021. The commander memberships that we have been offering have all been upgraded by Dr. Piazza to founder memberships, a $60,000 value for a $500 donation to RBN. To get this deal, you will need to request and pay for two memberships. So find a friend or loved one that's interested and take advantage of this amazing opportunity. RBN will remind you on the air till December 30th at midnight.
See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
We are living in dangerous days, and I am frightened by what you say. It chills right to the core, this talk of holy war.
And welcome back to our show here. We have open phone lines, 512-248-8252. And back to the world of computers. Very alarming story. This one's coming out of, actually, it was a YouTube video. And the United Nations is now getting in on the censorship craze. They are taking down entire private websites, and they're doing it by working at the domain level. Now, when you type in a URL into your browser like whatreallyhappened.com or republicbroadcasting.org, it goes out to something called a domain name server, and it will take that name and give back the actual IP address of the computer that is running that website, and your browser then leaps on over and is served that page from the server. What the UN is now doing is they are exerting their authority to go into those lookup tables and simply erase the information for websites they do not like. So you would get a, you know, domain does not resolve error. And talk about dictatorship and, you know, fear of the truth getting on out. It's getting really ugly. Okay, now we all know over in Japan there has been a real problem with Fukushima. saving up all this highly radioactive water. The cleaning plant they tried to set up didn't work. Now they're just going to dump the radioactive water into the ocean. People are not happy. That's not the only place it's happening, because over in Massachusetts, the company that is decommissioning the Pilgrim Nuclear Power Station has told the Nuclear Regulatory Commission that it plans to start discharging radioactive water from the plant into Cape Cod Bay within the first 3 months of 2022. And I have family back in that area, and I sent them that story. They are understandably concerned, and I basically signed it off saying, the gift that keeps on giving, radioactivity. So U.S. Representative William Keating of Massachusetts shared an email with the Cape Cod Times that his staff received from the commission Wednesday that confirmed Holtec International had informed the agency of its plan to simply dump the radioactive water into the bay. And wake up. Sea monsters or something, I don't know. All right, little bit of a story here. Over in Philadelphia, the 14-year-old son of a Philadelphia pizza shop employee shot an armed robbery suspect who started choking one of his parents. Now, this happened yesterday when three men robbed the CVS pharmacy and then moved on to the Bold Pizza Shop. And employees say the man forcibly reached over the counter and tried to take cash from the register. There was a struggle between an employee and the robbery suspect when the offender started to strangle the victim. And the victim's 14-year-old son grabbed a handgun that was underneath the counter and shot the offender one time in the face. And they basically tracked him down by following the blood, and he's now in jail. So a little bit of a good story for those who believe in gun rights. Another case out in Spanaway, Washington. This one happened yesterday morning. And basically what happened is two men kicked down this guy's door to get into his home. It was basically a home intruder situation. And the homeowner then fired at the two suspects. The police found one man, 24-year-old deceased, in the front yard. And the other one had run. So, you know, there is a legitimate reason in this defund the police era for people to keep and bear arms. All right, story that came on in just a few minutes ago. The United States has set a 1 week deadline to see if Iran talks improve in Vienna. Meanwhile, Israel is still pushing the military option. Okay. All righty. We have callers on the line now. We're going to go to Daniel in British Columbia. And Daniel, I'm going to have to take you through the commercial break. What's on your mind?
I guess we finally found out Jussie Smollett was guilty, even though he's still denying it, even after,
yes,
12 jurors, probably his peers. I don't know. I imagine there was at least half black jury on that team of jurists. I mean, I can't believe they actually prosecuted him after Kim Fox, the Soros-funded prosecutor, let him go. I mean, even though the Chicago Police Union were screaming bloody murder on this, wasting, hundreds of thousands of dollars on investigating a fake hate crime. And I don't know. It's like I'm just wondering what this guy's motive was. I mean, obviously, more fame and notoriety.
There was a pay dispute going on. Now, Daniel, stay on the line. I'm going to put you on hold. We're going to take a break for commercials, and we'll come on back, and I'll let you know what Jussie Smollett's interest in this case was.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Welcome back to our show here. We're talking with Daniel in British Columbia. We're talking about Jussie Smollett and why he did what he did, staging this hoax. And at the time, Jussie was still working as an actor on this TV show, but he felt he wasn't being treated as well as he deserved. And he basically tried to say that he needed more money because he needed more protection because people were after him for being black and gay. And there is a story that he actually faked a hate letter to himself, which he showed the producers of the show. They were not impressed, and so he decided to ramp things up by staging this hate crime because he thought the notoriety would help him get more money from the production. And that's how I understand this all came about.
Yeah, that's interesting, actually. You know, he comes from, his father was an Ashkenazi Jew, and so the product of this kid's upbringing in America, where you can become a millionaire despite being, you know, half black or having a black mother. You know, I think the punishment for this guy should really set an example, especially with all the racial tensions in America, to have someone like him just get a slap on the wrist. I mean, we've got what do you got? Michael Kadar, if you remember this allegedly autistic Israeli teen that phoned in a bunch of fake bomb threats at synagogues and airports all over the world.
Yeah, I remember that one.
There's still a gag order in the Israeli media. You can't refer to him by the name Michael Kadar. You have to call him M. And it just goes to show, with all these painting swastikas on dorm room doors, and it turns out you're Jewish, or on tombstones or synagogues, people get caught and they happen to be a rabbi. I mean, the punishment should really fit the crime, because what you're trying to do is bigger than just a can of spray paint. You're really trying to stir up racial tensions. And, America...
Well, the problem is actually larger than that, because everyone talks about things becoming normalized, surveillance becoming normalized, vaccine deaths becoming normalized. But what is really becoming normalized in this country is lying. Because we get lied to all the time, and the people who are lying to us never suffer any ill consequences from it. We were lied to about Saddam's nuclear weapons. Nobody got in trouble for that whopper. We were lied to about Syria's gas attacks. Nobody got in trouble for that one. We're being lied to about Iran's nuclear weapons. Nobody's getting in trouble for that. And as a result, lying is just somehow becoming accepted as part of the normal course of life here in the United States of America, and that is a really bad thing. I think the American people, need to go back to saying we demand the truth about everything, truth above all. And anybody caught lying about anything really should be made an example of. And Jussie Smollett fits that bill, but he's hardly alone. We've had a lot of fake hate crimes going on lately. We have a lot of politicians who are regularly caught lying to their constituents. We need to bring back tarring and feathering.
Yeah, I think, truth is, someone who fights for truth like Julian Assange, then look what happens to him. I mean, this guy, if he does get into a U.S. prison, he's going to get the Jeffrey Epstein treatment. So
I feel that you are correct.
All right. Good show, Mike. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. We have lines open, 512-248-8252. We're going to go to Steve in West Virginia. Hello, Steve. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah. Hi, Mike. How you doing? Hey, listen, just a few quick things. I don't know what's going on up there, where you're at in Indiana, but I'm not too far away from you. And, man, it's going to be 70 degrees here tomorrow.
We're in another warm spell. It was really cold earlier in the week. It's going to be cold as we start into next week. Right now, we've got thundershowers coming in.
Yeah. Listen, you started off the show talking about this this legislation that where you have to pay for your own medical
bills. Well, it's not legislation yet. It's merely a proposal, but they want to pass a law. I think this is coming out of Illinois. They want to pass a law where if you are not fully vaccinated, you are denied health insurance. And that means if you get sick from anything, not just COVID, that you will pick up the full entire cost of your medical care, which we know is ruinously high in this country.
Yeah, but Mike, he just dropped that about 8 hours ago. The guy out of Jonathan Carroll, the congressman, he was getting death threats and everything, and he said that it's the bill that he was sponsoring is creating more, consternation than anything. So it's
as well it should.
Yeah.
As well it should.
I agree.
Yeah.
Mike, I just want to quickly say this one last thing. I haven't called in a while, but I've been listening to the archives of the show, and some of your callers seem to think like we're getting worse. It looks to me like they're about to fall apart on these vaccine mandates. It looks like the whole thing's starting to crumble to me. It doesn't look like they're gaining more power. It looks like they're losing power.
Well, what they're losing is the trust of the American people. And what we in the independent media have been trying to do for all these many years is to remove the government and media's ability to lie to you with impunity. And we have created a population that is decidedly more skeptical, decidedly less trustful of what they're getting from the media and the politicians. And that is a very, very healthy thing.
Absolutely. Like, I don't believe they have the ability to force us to do a lot of things. I think the whole thing is falling apart. And I think I don't think it's going to get any better for them. I mean, for crying out loud, they got Jim Cramer coming out yesterday or last night saying that this is the best recovery we've ever had in the last
Oh, boy. I mean, that one gets five Pinocchios.
You talk about lying. You're right. They're lying about everything. I mean, there isn't anything they're not lying about.
True.
Mike, have a good weekend.
All right. Thank you very much. Same to you. And we have open lines, 512-248-8252. We're going to go to Mitchell in Memphis. Hello, Mitchell. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike. What's going on?
Well, you tell me.
I'll try. Let's talk about violence a little bit.
Okay.
I've heard Alex Jones on a regular basis is constantly saying, but we don't want violence. We don't want violence. I've heard David Knight, we don't want violence. A lot of the RBN hosts talk about we don't want violence. A lot of the right Republican callers say we don't want violence. I think I've heard you say we don't want violence.
I definitely don't want to see that happen because the wrong people get killed and crippled in such events.
Okay, so a lot of people are saying they don't want violence. Well, just real quick, let's go. As far as the radio shows and such, is it some sort of a FCC requirement that you have to tell the listeners that we don't want violence?
No, there isn't. You know, if I thought violence was honestly the way to go, I would be telling you that. But I keep getting my inspiration from Mahatma Gandhi. Who just used, nonviolent non-cooperation to drive the British out of India. And
I'm definitely in agreement with those who are saying
it's time for a national strike. Everybody just sit down, stop working, stop filling out the paperwork, stop taking orders, and just let the whole system fall apart.
Okay, so I'm not an advocate for violence. I'm not saying either way. I'm not saying. Let's get some clarity here. What does the word mean? Violence, behavior involving physical force intended to hurt, damage, or kill someone or something. Okay, so there's the definition. We'll agree on that definition. Now, okay. Mike, I learned about John Bad Elk versus the United States Supreme Court case from you.
Yes.
Could you sum it up for me, please?
Yeah, the John Bad Elk versus the United States case involved... an individual who basically was being maltreated by some police officers who were clearly acting outside their legal authority. And John Bad Elk defended himself and shot some of these police officers and basically argued that once the police officers are acting outside their lawful authority, the uniforms and the badges don't mean anything. They're just bad people doing bad things, and the Supreme Court agreed, basically saying that if you are confronted with law enforcement officers or any officials who are acting illegally, you do have a right to resist them up to and including the use of deadly force.
Right, up to and including lethal force. So the court held that an individual had the right to use force to resist an unlawful arrest. Now, one of the problems with the word violence is it doesn't determine... Built into that definition, there's no determination of who initiates the violence and who's defending themselves. The Supreme Court came to that conclusion. And so basically, the Supreme Court concluded that, yes, violence in that circumstance would be good. Do you agree?
Yeah, in that case, when you're being confronted directly, yes, violence is definitely necessary and needed. And by the way... As a side note, it may surprise you to know, Mahatma Gandhi was fully in favor of gun rights for ordinary citizens in India.
Okay. I mean, so I'm just trying to make a point here that there are circumstances where we do want violence. So I wish Alex Jones would shut up with the whole we don't want violence. There's times when maybe we do want violence. It's just the Supreme Court thought that. And by the way, I've heard Lou Rockwell talk about that government itself is violence.
Yes.
I mean,
that's how they get what they want,
Exactly.
It's gentle persuasion, and then it progresses from that, to you know, police action and eventually the hangman.
Right, right. The government, authoritarian status government, and most of the people, the Republicans and the callers and the host are what I'd consider a minarchist, a statist minarchist. They believe that authoritarian government is necessary for society to operate correctly.
Okay.
Take a Hobbesian viewpoint. So most people believe we have to have government. Authoritarian government system is violence. As you said, I mean, it's either hands-on forcing someone to submit, or it's by holding we the people in a state of duress. A state of duress, duress is defined as threats of violence, constraints, or other action brought to bear on someone, blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
So to actually violate someone is violence, and to threaten to violate someone is violence. So government itself is violence. So everybody talking about they don't want violence, they do want violence because they want, especially if you're a statist, you want the government, which is violence. But let me move on to one last point, Mike.
Okay.
So I just wish people would quit this little, we don't want violence, we don't want violence. You do in some cases. Supreme Court says so. The biblical text says so. You know, children understand this. Animals understand this. And by the way, when you brought up the Jefferson quote,
yeah,
I mean, why do we have to let people know that? Why do we have to say anything about violence? Why don't we just not say anything? It's like the Thomas Jefferson quote. What did you say? Well, when the government fears the people, there is liberty. When the people fear the government, there is tyranny.
Jefferson's
why are we letting the government know that we're not going to use violence?
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? Why don't we just not say anything?
Well, I generally don't bring it up. You know, it's brought up by callers such as yourself. And again, you know, I'm hoping for a Gandhi-esque outcome.
All right, the last thing I'll say, Mike, a human being, and I've mentioned this before, a human being, when they're put into a rock and a hard place situation, you only have about four or five options. You can try to go through proper channels, you can try to escape, you can acquiesce, or you can use force or violence. And so the point I'm making is, why would someone remove one of their tools, if you will, from their toolkit? You don't have to say anything. I mean, I wish Alex Jones just don't mention violence at all. We don't have to mention it at all. And then maybe the government can start fearing the people. I mean, why do we need to announce that
again,
we're not going to...
if you look at my variation on Jefferson's quote, when the government fears the people, they bring down more tyranny. That's what we're seeing right now with all this online censorship.
Well, do they really fear the people?
And, yeah.
Do they fear the people? And like I'm saying,
yeah,
we keep
they do.
Announcing.
They're afraid we're finding out the truth. They're afraid that we're thinking for ourselves, and they're losing control.
Now, I'm just making the point, when we go around talking about we don't want violence, we don't have to advocate violence, but when we go around announcing it constantly, to me it's no different than some of those liberal Democrats that put signs in the yard saying this is a gun-free neighborhood. It's ridiculous. You see what I'm saying? We don't have to show our hand. That's what I'm saying. That's all.
Well,
I'm saying.
Well, like I said, I never bring the subject up unless a caller such as yourself brings it up.
I got you. I'm just saying a lot of other hosts and a lot of people are constantly saying, "But we don't want violence. But we don't want violence." You don't have to say that. You don't have to say anything, and you're not advocating violence, but you just don't have to show your hand. Just don't say anything. That's all I'm saying. You know,
yeah. Well, whatever. That's generally
I'm reiterating.
My approach. Yeah, that's
all
my
right,
approach.
Then. All right, thanks.
Okay. Mike. All right. Let's see. We're going to go to Steve Elkins. And, Steve, I'm going to have to take you through the next commercial break. What's on your mind today?
Well, I'm going to answer that question. The last caller, first thing I'm going to answer is the reason you and I and many others do not promote the violence is because we will be canceled. I mean, we just saw what happened on January 6th, insurrection.
Mm-hmm.
They always change the terms, the definition. So if you and I were to say, you know, get out there on the street and take violence, take the law in your own hands, you and I would be shut down in a heartbeat. And they're looking for reasons to shut us down anyway, so let's not give them
that's
the
true.
Reason. The element of surprise and the unknown is our weapon, believe it or not. We don't have to say, the caller's right, we don't have to say anything about violence. They know where we stand. They know how many firearms in this country. They know where we stand. They know there's militias. We don't have to show our hands at all, but if we start saying, you know, get to the street and start, you know, if you need to use violence, use it, we'll be shut down. And that's what they want, so I wouldn't go in that direction. other thing I want to talk about real quick here is the Illinois bill for the health coverage being refused if not fully vaxxed. Well, if you want to go in that direction, we could actually hold payment on AIDS through the promiscuous unprotected sex. We could actually go after the IV drug users who share the needles. We could go after obesity. We could go after people who don't wear their seatbelts. You've just opened the door of canceling a lot of other people out.
Yes.
For behavior problems. Those are actually behavior issues versus the reason I'm not taking it is because of safety issues, and I know better. I know much better than my body can use or not.
Steve, stay on the line. Going to put you on hold. Going to come right back to you after these words from our sponsors.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. Fuck you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be a bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Corporations, Wall Street and the banks rule our politicians. They don't deserve our thanks. Then they tell us the banks are too big to fail, when the banksters all need to be in jail.
And welcome back to our show. Last segment of our program on this Powhana Friday. We're talking with fellow RBN host Steve Elkins. And Steve, just pick it up where you left off.
Well, that's pretty much it. I mean, opening that box to saying, I'll cover you, I won't cover you on payments, so your health care coverage based on this and that. I mean, We could certainly go after people who have promiscuous lifestyles and addictions, drugs or alcohol. Say the same thing, but he's not talking about that. This is a punishment, again, if you're not behaving, you're not obeying the master of taking the shot, so we can try to force you in a different way here, cancel your health coverage. So there's a lot of tyranny around this whole thing. Last thing I want to mention is last night I called in your show, and I was very disappointed today, but I called in yesterday to tell you that Dr. Peter McCullough and I were talking, and he was kind of excited about doing a segment on Laura Ingraham's show, The Angle, last night. We all tuned in, I tuned in, and with great disappointment to say, where's Dr. Peter McCullough? No Dr. Peter McCullough. So I called him this morning, got him on the phone before he went into another conference in Fresno, and we talked for a little bit. And I said, what happened? He says, I don't know. He said, they cut it. They cut it. Will they ever show it? I don't know. He said, this has happened before. I've usually had no problems on Fox, but they cut me, so what I had to say was not... not sad at all. So I don't know if this is Fox looking at it and saying, well, this is really good stuff, but this kind of goes against the agenda here. We're kind of, they're standing on the sidelines saying that this is a hoax and all this other stuff. But at the same time, if they don't bring out the true information of what's going on with Omicron, to me, they're complicit with the other side, too. So I don't know why he got cut. Yeah. He doesn't know why. He was disappointed. I was disappointed. But I just wanted to tell the listeners, I did talk to him this morning, and we are all just waiting. Are they ever going to record, take this recording that they recorded and play it again? I don't know. We'll just have to wait, I guess.
Well, you need to remember the behavior of Fox News over that Monsanto synthetic bovine growth hormone story, where yep. Fox News sent out reporters to, do a puff piece on this. The reporters found that the people, customers, who were consuming the poultry and beef products that were treated with these, not poultry, but dairy and beef products from the treated cows were getting strange health problems. They reported that. Fox management said, you got to take that out of here. Monsanto's a huge advertiser. The reporters refused. Fox fired them. The reporters then sued, and they lost on appeal when the judge said there is no law requiring the corporate news media to be truthful to the American people. And that's all you really need to know about the corporate media.
Yeah. Well, they spent, if I were in their business, I would have spent 5 minutes on the Jussie Smollett case and say, 5 minutes, 5 out of 6 charges, convicted. Okay, that's pretty much it. He lied. This is actually a true conspiracy, by the way. We had a conspiracy that was unfolded. So there's actually your true conspiracy. People say conspiracy theorists. You have one right there. But I would have spent 5 minutes on that. But to me, right now the media is trying to hype up Omicron to be the next killer variant here. And it's not.
Yeah.
It's not.
And so we already have know a great, that's nonsense. Anyway, there's the music. I got to let you go. Have a great weekend here. Stay tuned for the National Intel Report. Jeremy from Kentucky and one of our regular co-hosts, William Ripillum, are going to be taking the microphone. Please spread the word of Republic Broadcasting. Spread the word of WhatReallyHappened.com. Please donate. You are helping RBN through a critical time. We'll be back on Monday. Aloha, America.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cyber crimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With PatriotInternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, PatriotInternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from PatriotInternet.com. Visit PatriotInternet.com today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.